Coming up on today's show, we got a little bit of news to discuss. That's today on Traveling with the Mouse. Hit it.
Muted first.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 507 of Traveling with the Mouse. I am your host this week. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by my faithful co-host, Adam.
What's up, everybody?
I forgot we were supposed to laugh. Like
yes.
You know, the fake laugh that AI tends to give us when we keep playing around with it.
Yeah. They like to laugh. They love to laugh.
Mm-hmm. We can incorporate in there, incorporate that in there somewhere. Mm. I'd almost forgotten about that scene. It's been so long since I've watched Mary Poppins. I'll tell you one I happened to watch the other day on Disney Plus that I thought of. You remember That Darn Cat, right? Just some of the way they said things in there that was funny back in the day. I don't know if people nowadays would get it in some ways, the humor. Mm-hmm. Like the nosy neighbor next door, the old woman. There was that part where, like, whenever Ingrid screams, you know, from the closet, and she's like, I distinctly heard a woman scream. And he pulls her away. He's like, if you don't get away from that door, you're going to hear another.
Wow.
You know,
yeah,
things from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Just funny stuff.
Yep. They had some humor that, like, Mark Davis style humor gets replaced over time.
I watched it and I thought the whole thing was hilarious. You know how because back in those days too, one of the things they commonly used in the movies or even in television was where they kind of speed up the film for comedic effect. I get, you know, if you know what I'm talking about with a certain scene. Yes. Like in that one, it's when Canoe had fallen in the pool or whatever, and he was up against the garage door, and then the garage door goes up, and he's like stuck in the garage door. It's just they sped the scene up.
It looks odd to the eye.
Yes, yeah. Right. Or Blackbeard. Man, overboard.
Yes, right, yeah. Yeah, it looks way too sped up.
Yeah, the whole scene, really, a lot of it, the driving is.
Yeah.
I haven't finished my turn yet. My turn. Anyway,
yeah.
Most of you probably have no idea what we're talking about. This is totally an inside joke that shouldn't be on the show, but it just came up. Well, that's how we do things here.
We like to start by making everyone want to just turn it off. If you made it this far, congratulations.
Well, I guess I could kind of start this episode off just a little bit by saying right now I have intentions to go somewhere in October.
Yes.
But I literally have no plans. It's going to be a true wing it.
A true John trip?
Yes. It's going to be a true wing it type situation.
I thought you did.
Let's see how this goes. Well, I've had some plans, but I've continued to either modify or cancel them. And right now it's just a clean slate. We have no idea what we're going to do. I have no idea until it gets there type deal.
But it's Orlando.
I think so.
Oh, okay. You're not sure.
It should be. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be one of the two. I think the kids are actually leaning more toward Disney.
As they should.
One of the things I've considered, since we are a called Traveling with the Mouse, you know, so it's like we are a travel show. We do have done travel planning several times. One of the things I thought about, at least, was finding a somewhat centralized either Airbnb or VRBO, Vrbo, whichever way you say it.
Yeah.
I always say both at different times. Yeah.
But a little more centralized, one of those that's kind of in between the two. Does that make sense?
Right.
So
in between Universal and Disney.
I could do both.
I see. Maybe.
Possibly.
You might make it.
It's been given a thought. I've also thought about trying out the either Home2 or Homewood Suites that's over on near Western Way.
Yeah. I've looked at those every time I come in. I'm like, they look pretty good and they're very close. So,
yeah, it's close enough, especially to Animal Kingdom.
Indeed.
I've actually found a video or two that people have done about the Home2, I know. Maybe the Homewood one as well. But apparently they have Mickey Waffles there as part of their free breakfast, you know, that those they always include there. But you can get Mickey waffles in the free breakfast.
Interesting. So part of their good neighbor
benefit. I guess. I mean, are they on the good neighbor list? I never did look for them there. I have Hilton Honors, so if I look for Hilton, I usually look through their app.
Yeah.
I have a tendency to look for their properties a lot, though, if I'm going somewhere, just because, you know, usually it's good conditions for less in a lot of ways.
It's, you know what I mean? Usually our go-to is Hilton first and then Marriott second.
They're really just any one of the Hilton-type brands, like I said, at Home2, or even, you know, they own Hampton now. So, I mean, you look for any of their brands.
Hampton Inns aren't bad, yeah.
Just depends. Yeah.
And each one gets something, like, some get the free breakfast, some have, like, where you get the two waters and the cookie that's double tree.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they each have their own little thing.
I'm probably going to keep going closer to the last minute with this, just to maybe even check Disney sites, just to see what they have available the closer it gets to the time frame, too.
Yeah. They have some good deals.
Yeah, but not for a holiday weekend so much.
Oh, okay. You're going the
Columbus Day.
In October.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, is that a big holiday for traveling?
Apparently it is to them. Seems to be.
Mm-hmm. They charge the holiday rate.
Everybody around there is really not discounting anything too much. They don't have any discounts available ticket-wise during that time period. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem like. So, yeah.
This weekend would be a good one. Just because it's...
I think deep. James is actually going this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know for how long. They have a tendency to go when, like, Jenna finds, like, or gets offers for good points from the person, the contact that she has, basically, that she came across a few years back, and they've kept in contact, and, you know, usually if it's, you know, you got an individual owner.
That yeah, you'd want to stick with it.
Yeah, that you've had good rapport with. Especially because now it's kind of real risky to look for anybody outside of the verified sites like the Dave's DVC and the DVC rentals. And because, you know, there's just so many scams out there now.
Yeah. And you're kind of at the mercy of, because you got to put your money down and they have to book it. And yeah, it could very easily just lose all your money.
In this day and age, I would definitely recommend going through someone like Dave's if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Just because you have a, you know, at least you have a trustworthy site.
Yeah.
And to go have, through.
Right. You have some accountability there.
Right. Yeah. You're not going completely out on a limb.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I've still never bitten the bullet on that and tried to rent DVC points so far, but they've done it a few times. Liked it. I think the only thing with that is you have to buy your own individual insurance package, because if something happens, otherwise without buying the insurance, if something happens, you're screwed pretty much.
Yeah.
There's that.
Well, while we're talking about booking things and whatever, I do want to mention, if you go to our website, travelingwiththemouse.com, there's a few changes, but one is I don't know if this shows up on the mobile site, but on the desktop site, if you want to call it that, we have a new good neighbor that I added, who's a travel advisor. He can book just about any travel, including Disney. So I put it on there, so go check it out. And that we have a travel advisor again that we know and I can verify.
So, you verify.
Yeah. He's certified. Allie Jolly.
That's it. That gives a good opportunity here, because I think a lot of times there might be some listeners who, you know, they finish the show, but they don't really, you know, because we have a tendency, just like a lot of folks, the outro is very consistent, right? Yeah. So some of them may not even listen to it. So they may not even know that we have two different stores out there. If you care to look at the merchandise that we've put out there, we have both a Spreadshirt and we have a TeePublic store for our merchandise. So,
and I guess as a heads up, I got notified today, well, as we're recording this, soon the prices for Spreadshirt stuff's going to go up. I guess they mentioned rising costs. Most things are going to be increasing their price. So might want to look into getting something now if you're thinking about it.
Right.
But TeePublic so far has not changed anything or made me aware of anyone. So
yeah,
I've been putting the newer stuff there on the T Public because it's a little bit more user friendly. I'll put it that way. That's all I'll say.
A little cheaper too, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, overall. Not cheaper as in cheaper material by any means, but cheaper as in
lower price.
Yeah, lower prices, not cheaper. I should have said that. Right.
Yeah.
But the stuff that I've gotten from Spreadshirt's good quality for sure.
They're both good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. But
I mean, I'm trying to remember the Team Skyliner. Was that one on Spread or was that one on?
That's the T-Public.
T-Public, right.
Yeah.
That's right. And that one I got the tri-blend. I like the way that feels the best.
Yeah. And I got an active wear or whatever, like running shirt. I think that was Spreadshirt because it has the old logo. And I like that one too. But I got the Challenge Runner shirt, which is on T-Public. Is good quality too. So go figure. They're both good.
And we also had the Independently Having a Good Time shirt on TeePublic.
Indeed. Which is selling fast. Yeah, well, you can. No, but we also had the Rass Were a Ride shirt, which is on the TeePublic one.
Right. They were, right. Well, technically they still are on the West Coast, but you know.
Yeah, well. This is for your East Coast. This is
for your East Coast challengers. Yeah. Haven't really heard a lot out of the challenge lately. I just feel like it's probably because there's been so much construction and there's like very little true good opportunities to do anything, truthfully. It's kind of faded into the background a little bit, but I feel like there's room and opportunity for it to make a comeback in the near future. We'll see.
Especially September is typically your month of challenge completions.
Right. Right. So. I feel like, I just feel like it's taken a step back in a while, but there is room for it to make a comeback once again. Like, you know, there was some life breathed into it here a little while back when the brothers made a run. Maybe if the brothers make a run, that would breathe some life into it, you know, that had a tendency to be exciting, but there's still hope. There's possibility for future runs.
COVID certainly put a damper on it and never really came back.
Kind of killed the momentum. It's come back a little bit at times. I mean, you know, we've had some people on that have tried to do different versions of it. So say, for instance, we had Nathan Firesheets on that did the global challenge, basically, that he set for himself. It's really, all these challenges are really just setting your own set of rules in a way. I mean, unless you're going by the Parkeology one. But I mean, you could create your own stuff.
Yeah. I see a lot of the, like, influencer types, Disney doing like, can I ride every roller coaster at Disney in one day? Like,
it's like, you sure can, dude.
Right.
And like
amateur hour, dude.
I was like, yeah, probably in half a day.
Right. It's like, can I do all the water rides in one day? Like yeah. It's pretty easy.
It's like, try all of the rides in one day.
Yeah. Right.
Done multiple times.
Yes, it has been done. And documented for all to see. So
yes,
but it's funny to see those because I see them a lot pop up on my feeds. It's like, I'm gonna try to ride every ride at Magic Kingdom in one day. Like, okay, try doing it in 3 hours.
You know, it's funny. There was a podcast I listened to way back in the day. It was one of the first Disney ones that I listened to regularly. It was Walt Disney World Today, which I don't even think it still has new episodes now because they changed from their original people that were on it. Lynn Testa was one of the ones that was on that show.
Mm-hmm.
The later ones, it was done by Logan Seculo and he had a crew with him, but some of those were entertaining, but not as entertaining as the original crew. But I remember one time way back when they set these rules for themselves about visiting all four parks in one day. And they just kind of set these rules about you had to ride one certain level popularity ride, eat one thing, you know, or something like that. They set those type of rules for doing it in one day. And it seemed like doing it even then, the way the rules they set for themselves, they made it out like they kind of struggled a little bit just doing that. That's not even all the rides in one day.
Well,
but yeah.
We know it's possible.
It would be interesting though to make some kind of rules like that if you did like pick three attractions and three food items and do it that way. You know what I mean? Stuff like that in one day.
It would be interesting to have like something where people could vote ahead of time or something and you could pick
what you could do.
Yeah.
Or give you challenges while you're doing it, sort of thing, somehow.
Right. Yeah, that might be
interesting. Like you could do it through like Twitter or something, or excuse me, X.
Right. But some of the requests might get really weird, like, you know, who knows? As long as they're not like get banned.
Something that might get you banned. Like visit Tom Sawyer's Island.
Jump off the railroad while it's moving.
Yeah. It was like go run in the dry rivers of America.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Go to Tom Sawyer Island and just see what's still there.
It's like run the rafts route.
Oh gosh. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff you didn't get if you just left it up to like
right.
But if you gave a multiple choice, like, oh, should I get a churro or a spring roll or a Dole Whip, you know?
Right.
And whatever vote wins, you know, whatever. That would be more.
It's like, you know, I'm going to say, you're talking about the weird challenges, like steal a piece of vegetable from the land.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah. Jump out and grab a cucumber and then come back. And,
yeah.
Without getting caught.
People would say that sort of thing.
Yes, exactly. So you can't leave it up to the internet because.
No, they'll tell you to do stupid things.
Basically.
So. Let's talk about a couple of stories. We'll say that picking up where we left off from last week, we caught up a little bit.
Yeah.
Why you laugh?
Because a lot of news dropped like immediately after we.
Something like that.
Last week.
So it appears the dining reservation capabilities are back on the My Disney Experience app, right?
Right, yeah.
So they got removed for a little while. Tell you, Disney and their tech. It's just unbelievable.
Right.
Man, I get that there's a lot of people using it, but it's just never been good. I mean, even when they had this talk because of the ESPN Unlimited or whatever, which turned out to not be that big of a deal, apparently, because if you're already a subscriber to like Hulu or one of the other providers, you basically have it and no additional charge. So the $30 a month, I don't know who's paying that. I guess people who didn't have any of it. But they talked about potentially opting to go with the Disney Plus system and get rid of the Hulu. A lot of people said something about that because, let's be honest, Hulu's streaming system is actually better than Disney Plus. Just another example of the tech being better that came from, you know, I know it's something they acquired, but it was a technology that they acquired that's better than their own, whether they realize it or not. But they just struggle with that sort of thing, it seems. So
they do.
Anyway,
I'm just looking to see if I can find a Beacon Girl at all.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
I don't think that it's showing for certain dates yet. It's weird.
It's up to August 24th.
Is it? Okay.
I mean, August. I said October 24th. October 24th.
So you are able to see up through that? And is there any availability in that time period?
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing at all. Yeah. It's probably one of those things, if you're ever going to snag one, it's going to have to be like, same day or next day, right? Don't you think?
I'm curious.
Or someone canceled or something.
Yeah. I wonder if this theme park was inside. Do they track stuff like that? Or, I mean, it hasn't opened yet officially, so probably
not the official. Yet.
But I'm just curious once it opens.
Yeah. So real quick, I just want to touch on something from Disneyland, how they have officially announced the end of early park entry in 2026. So the perk that was for hotel guests, basically, in which, you know, you got in, what, there's still 30 minutes before, wasn't it?
Yeah. So this is interesting.
Yeah. Prior to January 5th, guests who are checked in and staying at one of the Disney resorts can take advantage of the 30-minute early entry to designated theme park every day of their hotel stay to enjoy select attractions and so on and so forth. The early benefit is only for guests who are checked in and currently staying at one of the Disneyland Resort hotels. The time of their early entry admission to a theme park prior to January the 5th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of stinks.
I feel like it's probably coming to Florida eventually too, because we've kind of made the comment that 30 minutes does nothing really.
Well,
other than get you in line for something, or you might get one thing in, depending on the thing.
That's a pretty big advantage for the first thing you do, right? It gets you ahead of the game. But
you could get almost the exact same thing, though, if they just let everybody.
Well,
if right, you're there, the rope is what I'm trying to say.
They let a lot fewer people.
Because don't you, even to take it full advantage of that 30 minutes, don't you still have to pretty much be on the rope for
depending,
that?
Depending, if you're going for something that's not, you know, one of the most sought after.
Well, I was about to mention that. If you're going for the lesser popular attractions, which some of them aren't even open early. But like, if you're going for the less popular attractions, you might be able to get more of those in if you wanted to do that in 30 minutes.
Like Hollywood Studios, we went for Rockin' Roller Coaster first, and we could have done it twice before really any line showed up.
I feel like most everybody in the early entry does go for Star Wars and Slinky pretty much still.
Yeah. Yep. Those are the two main ones.
If you head toward Sunset Boulevard, you probably could get both Rockin' and Tower in, probably more than once.
But we did. The interesting thing at Magic Kingdom is, of course, only half the park opens early entry. It's Tomorrowland and Fantasyland. But we waited at the rope for Frontierland area, and we went to Tiana's, and there was a pretty big crowd initially. We had to wait maybe 10 minutes. But as soon as we got off, like, there was no line. So after the rope drop crowd filtered through and we finished the ride, we got back in line and waited nothing. We rode Tiana's 3 times, I think, that morning, because it was very short after that opening crowd, you know.
Yeah.
So just something to think about, too.
I kind of feel like with certain attractions, even at regular open, let's just say you didn't have the 30 minutes, when you talked about Rockin', probably regular open, Sunset Boulevard is probably still kind of light, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. I think there was like 30 people waiting to get in there, maybe.
Yeah.
when we left Rockin' area. So
I guess as it stands right now, no one said anything. Rockin' is still set to go through the rest of the year. They didn't have to get an official closure date.
Right.
So, I mean, is he really going to be like December 31st? I mean, is that going to be his last day of operation?
Or it'll probably be early January, perhaps?
Yeah, I think they'll probably get it through the holiday. Probably something like a January 5th or 6th is likely to be the actual closure date.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll announce that closer.
Right.
But
my guess would be that Muppets would open for spring break crowd, so like March or April at the latest.
Yeah. And I don't know, Muppets, it's progressing pretty quickly for the most part. I mean, the Muppets area, this turning into Monsters, Inc., it's progressing pretty quickly.
Yeah. I meant Rock and Roller Coaster would probably only be down for like 6 weeks to flip it over to Muppets.
It depends. I mean, it's probably going to take up. They have an opportunity to work on, obviously, any animatronics they want to include now, right?
Yeah.
Without them being physically there. And then they can install them. And they'll probably have to go through a little bit of programming and making sure everything's got timing, the proper timing of whatever they should decide to do. Which I don't think we really went into this too much. It looks like it has like a Kermit animatronic in there and a scooter.
Yeah.
And the penguins looks like are in that room.
Right. Here's what I'm curious about. So they did release that concept art for the pre-show for the Muppets Rock and Roller Coaster. And what I notice is I think they're recycling some animatronics from Muppet Vision 3D.
Yeah.
Penguins were animatronics there were some that were on the stage, right?
Yeah. Now, whether or not they're actually recycling is another thing, because they don't like to do that now, because usually the newer ones are they're much more fluid. So they don't like to recycle a whole lot.
The penguins?
Will they bring the characters back? Yes.
Yeah. Well, it looks like in the concept art, the Scooter will be the animatronic.
There's no Kermit either.
Kermit's on the screen, though. If you look, he's on a screen. And Miss Piggy's on the other side. It's either a picture of her or she's on the screen, on a screen too. And then, of course, Electric Mayhem is on a screen, which would be replacing Aerosmith in the studio.
You know, I totally expect them to do something, right? like, especially being the Muppets, I expect them to totally do something that spoofs a little bit the previous pre-show.
Yeah.
Like, I'm maybe sure I could see, like, Dr. T saying, wait a minute, I love that idea, or something like that, you know.
Oh, that would be amazing. that would be in line, too, right?
Or maybe Kermit saying, wait a minute, I love that idea.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
How about some backstage passes?
To Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Right. But if you listen, though, I mean, listen, if you read the description of the ride, it says, with the help of our Muppet Labs, friends at Muppet Labs, and a very fast limousine. So they're not going to change the
trains at all. Not touching that.
And it says you better go through a screamingly fun road trip across Hollywood to get to the concert in time. So it's like they're not going to change any of the in-ride.
They're changing the pre-show in the end, and that's it, maybe?
Yeah, right. That's it. The pre-show.
We're going to have a Muppet store instead of a generic store as it is right now. Not even Aerosmith products in there anymore. Used to be.
Not going to take that long to switch this over.
Yeah, so, very good possibility. Yeah, I think they're going to do something with some of the scenes. That's just weird.
You mean in the ride itself?
Maybe not. Maybe they're going to leave that exactly the same. You're just going to have Electric Mayhem music and pre-show and Muppet ending. That's about it.
I will say, though, the last few times I've ridden Rock and Roller Coaster, the current version, I don't hear the music that very loud.
Has it gotten like the monorail?
Yeah. I feel like it used to be a lot louder. Maybe I'm getting older or something.
It could be. Have you checked your earwax levels lately?
Well, yeah. I jab a Q-tip in there every now and then.
Okay, that doesn't do anything. No, you're supposed to. It just packs it down according to those videos you see.
Yeah.
You need one of those scrapers or those flushers or whatever it is. Yeah. That gets advertised.
What was that? No,
yeah, exactly.
My hearing is getting better.
It's like, what's that? Like the old man in the Haunted Mansion. What's that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So it's not going to take long, but they're also going to change the guitar out front slightly.
It's still going to be guitar, obviously.
Yeah. But again, that'll take like a week to paint that.
It won't be very much. It looks like there's not going to be as big a changes to the actual sensor. Since they're keeping the general concept the same, just retheming it essentially from Aerosmith to Electric Mayhem. But like you said, the racing across Hollywood, I feel like there's still a possibility, though, that inside the actual show building, they might add a thing or two there.
Yeah. It says there'll be a Muppet twist on the Hollywood scenery or whatever, something like that. So I'm like, whatever. And they did hint at there would be a track list released at some point. I forgot what they said specifically on that, but
here's one thing. With it being Muppet themed, is it going to be just as dark in there? Like, do you think the lighting might change?
Probably not in the actual ride part. But yeah, probably not. I don't think so. I mean, I was thinking about that, talking to my son about it, and it's like, they didn't grow up with the Muppets, not like we did anyway. And so this ride is for us. Like, this is for people.
That's the funny thing about it. Aerosmith was also for a certain crowd that was not the kids, obviously. I mean,
yeah.
And especially later on, I mean, they're in their 70s now.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
I mean, like, someone in their age range doesn't even know who they are, probably, pretty much. Yeah.
Right.
But the Muppets are kind of from the funny thing is they're from the 70s, too, really.
Yeah.
That's when they first started.
Right.
Did they release their IP? That's the main thing.
But I feel like the last generation of people who really love the Muppets was probably mine, like the millennials.
Yeah. And there has been not a whole lot to celebrate, we'll say, Henson related.
I know Muppet Treasure Island was really good. And
well, the last thing I personally can think of that I enjoyed was I enjoyed the Haunted Mansion thing they did.
Yes, right. That one was good. That was a recent one, but I guess.
I mean, the reboots of the Muppet Show have kind of bombed. Even the one they did on ABC way back kind of bombed.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about it many times. Disney just hasn't figured out what to do with the Muppets in this new generation.
The newer movies were not as good or as popular. Yeah.
I think the first reboot I liked that Jason Segel basically did. It was just, was it just the Muppets? I forgot what the title was.
Yeah, it was kind of like, yeah. Wasn't there like a Muppet version of him or something in there?
Yeah, I think there was. And I think it did pretty well too, but the sequel kind of tanked, I think, that they made.
Yeah. I mean, they're still just okay. It didn't match the success of even what they did in the 90s with Treasure Island or Christmas Carol.
Right, exactly.
So either one of those.
Both very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see how this turns out. I think it'll be just fine. I mean, I couldn't hear the Aerosmith music the last few times I've really played it. So I've written it. I mean, so was that your Skyliner? You're on a Skyliner?
Yeah, you couldn't tell. Actually, that was, I've had my notifications on the sound I don't normally have on regularly. So it was back on, but that's my notification.
Got it. Are you waving to your adoring fans?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually heading to Epcot, so.
Oh, I see.
I'm learning how to say hello in a new language.
Oh, I see.
Or whatever. What does it say?
Yeah.
Konnichiwa. Like, did you learn how to say hello or goodbye or whatever in a new language?
Yeah.
Kind of makes me think a little bit of Judi Dench, actually, the way it's said. It's like, thank the Phoenicians.
They invented the pigeon. Speaking of, here's a story, because it did close for a refurb this week.
Officially.
It says multi-month. I don't remember them giving a date that it's going to reopen.
Yeah, they didn't give much notice either, actually. I think people just kind of faded. They're doing things like they used to do when it's nothing big.
Right.
You know, you can just close it one day, pretty much, and
right,
it'll be, and then put up a sign that says returning in however long.
Yeah.
Or like the sign for Test Track opening June 1997. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
We were there to see that sign.
Yes, I do remember that.
And that's funny.
Yeah. I remember the billboard used to be on the right by the monorail too. The big Test Track.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of miss the days when they would make those billboards along the World Drive, especially the Tower of Terror promotion, and then
the sign or like promotion for the
But they had one for Test Track right there near the monorail track, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then when Mission Space opened, they had one for Mission Space. That one's probably gone too. I haven't even noticed.
I don't even know if that billboard's here anymore.
Yeah, they probably just took all the billboards down. But those were fun times, advertising things in that manner.
Right.
I mean, you still get a little bit of it. You have the billboards when you're getting close to the property somewhat. Yeah,
which, those aren't great. I mean, the ones on the turnpike.
They haven't updated them in a while.
Yeah.
Like, it's still advertising, like, Frozen Ever After, right? And I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
Right.
It's like a decade ago, whenever that one was new.
Right.
And then, of course, Disney Springs, they definitely advertise that one. Spend money is basically what it says.
Right.
Come spend money in Disney Springs.
Basically.
So
they do.
That's what I think. That's what I think of when I see them anyway.
Yeah. But
you had a thought?
Yeah, it was back to the Spaceship Earth thing. It just says it's going to open later this year. So it doesn't, again, nothing specific about what they're going to do. But I think they probably had some technical stuff they need to update. For one, the picture quality or needs to be better, because half the time it doesn't even get my face right. Sometimes it does, but it's not going to be the extensive re-theming or changes they were going to make, probably.
Right.
Unfortunately.
It's more of a spruce up type thing, hopefully. Hopefully one that actually lasts or work, is when they did that sprucing up of Dinosaur. It was not very much last time, and yeah, I don't think it's still that great. But again, I guess for an attraction that's days are numbered, they didn't really have to do a whole lot, right? So I did the bare minimum. So one of the breaking news stories that has come out is that we have an official opening date for Zootopia Better Together. So yeah, over at Animal Kingdom.
That was another one.
Yeah. So it's opening November the 7th. That one pulled together probably a little quicker than we originally thought, right? Weren't we thinking it was going to go into the next year?
Yeah, I don't remember what they had said, but it didn't seem like it would be open this soon. So,
well, it makes sense in the realm of it's going to come together right before Zootopia 2 comes out, because it's in theaters November the 26th.
Right. Yeah.
So I think the timing's not coincidence. I think it's definitely on purpose. Yeah. So there's probably, I'm going to say most likely, something in the attraction that's going to at least signal towards the sequel.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe something in the queue or something that they put up in promotion, something. Right.
Yeah. Or the timeline or the story will be in line or in step with the new movie. Would make sense.
Did you see this concept art that's been updated? Rainbow Caverns show scene.
Yeah.
Coming to Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah. Everybody expected it to be the Dynamite scene that they would promote, which still might be happening.
This still might do something.
But this is what they started with. And they even changed kind of the story of Big Thunder a little bit. Which makes it seem a little bit more like haunted. I don't know.
Maybe it has the capability of being an overlay.
Yeah. I'm wondering though, is it like because it's going to be so close to Villain's Land? Or are they like trying to bleed into Villain's Land with it?
Or something? I think they're just really updating it, make it a little more colorful. Probably get to utilize a lot of that like neon paint or whatever everybody likes to do nowadays. In an attraction.
But as you're hopefully not as loudly going up this lift hill, remember how loud that lift hill used to be? Hopefully the new track will be a little quieter in there. But while you're up on that first lift hill, it looks as though you're going to see the cavern transform into a more colorful cavern as you go up. So that's something neat. I do hope they do the Dynamite scene, though, at the end. That would be needed.
So, yeah, looks like we're having phosphorescent pools, shimmering and illuminating iridescent stalagmites and stalactites.
Yep.
So, basically, they just stand out more.
Yeah.
Instead of being like a dark cave, pretty much. Which, that area always was pretty dark. Maybe they could find a way to, like, the bats so that they stand out where you can actually see them a little better. Maybe put a little different, like, maybe paint them a little different, kind of like they do now when the black light shines on things, you know what I mean?
Right.
But maybe they can put them in something that makes them show up a little better.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of needed because you can barely see them most of the time.
Right. Yeah. So. It looks like that's what they're going to do, and they're going to have some cool lighting effects there.
Yeah.
So that was another thing they released this week just out of nowhere.
Yep. Like an RKO. Anyway, Robin Williams, Lost Boy character, if you remember from the Hollywood Studios backlot, has made a return or is making a return to the Hollywood Studios in 2026. We kind of thought that would be what they were doing. There was a funny skit with Robin Williams and Walter Cronkite in the original Magic of Disney Animation, which is kind of neat that they're bringing the character back. I wonder if they're going to use AI to kind of mimic his voice somewhat, like a lot of places do nowadays, or can they do that, actually?
They'd probably have to
get with the estate, right? So,
get permission from his family or whatever. Yeah. Or could they recycle some of the dialogue that they did have, maybe? I don't know.
Possible. They might if they can use some of the stuff from the original one, they can definitely work with that.
Yeah.
Because they own that.
Right. Yeah.
That's one of the things about being an actor. You kind of give that up whenever you do those things.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite parts of Happily Ever After is to actually hear Robin Williams' voice on the Friend Like Me part, because it's great to hear your voice. Yeah.
This is encouraging, bringing this, the animation part, back to the studios, though. I mean, it kind of doesn't fit with the rest of the thing that they've gone with, but I still like the fact that it's going to be there. And it definitely replaces something that's needed replacing for a while now, because let's be honest, Launch Bay was just that. It was a launching pad for the Galaxy's Edge, basically, which was way far away from it, too, as well now. So
there was nothing ever good in there. Like the path, was it the Path of the Jedi or something that they showed in one of the theaters there? It was thrown together, not very well thought out.
It was basically like a Star Wars version of the old, like, preview, like for Walt Disney World stuff that they used to have. Those preview theaters or whatever it was.
Right. I remember going in there, and of course we did the BB-8 and the Chewie and Darth Vader meet and greets and Kylo Ren at one point.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but it's like, only so many times can you do that and really enjoy it. And then I think Jawas used to barter with you in there, and it's like, it's okay, but it's fine. And then there's a gift shop that was moderately okay. Otherwise, not that great. You could see some props, right? That was other stuff in there, but meh. Otherwise, it's not going to be missed at all. So,
but yeah, that's another one to me to look forward to.
I think this can be really good, especially if they bring back some of Robin Williams' part and then make a new thing out of it, maybe. Could be really interesting. So,
Just to give you, here's a description basically of what they're talking about here. It says, our story in this newly reimagined space begins as the animators have temporarily stepped away, but the building is still buzzing with activity as the characters have come to life and they're ready to play. Inside, you will interact with and explore silly takes on the iconic Disney Animation headquarters, including the many different studios' departments. Only this time, some of our favorite pals have taken over to create the fun adventures. The playful and interactive moments will be around every corner. You'll see portraits come to life before your eyes, just like they did in Once Upon a Studio. You'll find inspiration with a short film, with a twist, of course.
Right.
And you'll even pencil in some time to learn how to draw your very own character sketch. So they're kind of bringing the thing back, right? Just a newer version.
Yeah.
Our youngest animators to be can explore the Drawn to Wonderland playground, filled with an oversized flower garden with musical instruments, a Mad Tea Party playset, and a Tuggly Wood exploration area, all inspired by the original Alice in Wonderland concept art from Disney's legend Mary Blair. It'll be the perfect whimsical indoor play area for the little ones to grow curiouser and curiouser.
Yeah, I like this. This is a much better use of that space, so I'm excited about that.
And for someone like myself who remembers, you know, people who remember the original one, it's an encouraging sign as well. So,
yeah. You know what some people I've heard talk about lately is some of these changes, it feels like management or whatever, the top people are finally letting Imagineering make some of the decisions and like let them kind of do their thing instead of like trying to control everything.
A little bit.
I don't know if that's true, but
only if there's still someone from back in the day in there, seemingly.
But I think a lot of people who have been to Beak and Barrel, for example, are saying this is like Imagineering at its best. Like they've really come up with something good here.
So speaking of Beak and Barrel, have you seen some footage from inside?
I thought it looked fantastic. I think the only thing that I wonder for myself, part of the experience is, you know, like they did like the whole shipwreck thing or storm coming in thing where they kind of interrupt the flow of things. It's almost like Trader Sam's type stuff, which is cool, but I'm like, do I want that all the time? I don't know.
Well, to me too, though, it seemed like, at least in the video, it might be different when you're there. It seemed a little chaotic and hard to follow.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. Is like, do I want that? I mean, I guess it goes with the pirate thing, so you can't get what you... I mean, it would be funny if they simulated, like, fights, like Tortuga or something.
Yeah, but... well, I mean, I get there being chaos, but at least it does still need to be... You need to be able to tell what's going on, like, what the flow is, right?
Yeah.
So,
but I guess the element of surprise is part of it. Like, you're like, oh, you never know what you're going to get, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the cast members were great, I will say. The cast members I saw were fantastic. But part of me, like, I kind of want to just go sit and have a drink and not have to, like, do a conga line or something. Like, I don't, what am I going to have to do when I'm in here? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, I just want to sit and enjoy. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's understandable why they would.
And how there were, like, certain, like, rooms that had a story to it, right? Like the one about the, what was it, the pirate that was locked in and went mad and shot off a cannon in the room or something like that. Yeah, things like that.
The only thing I think is missing, that I think would be, well, I haven't seen it, I'm assuming it's not in there, would be that that portrait of Aldisa would be awesome, actually, in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not too many people get the Blackbeard references anyway, no, so, they probably unfortunately.
Didn't. But that would be awesome if they threw that in there.
I'm surprised that you haven't brought up, because I thought of this, actually, the fact that I didn't really care for the voice of the parrot.
Okay. Just didn't. I wasn't going to say anything because there wasn't a particular parrot to compare it to that, you know, but I didn't, I thought it was weird. I agree. I thought it was weird
because he didn't do parrot voice.
Right.
He didn't sound like a parrot.
Rock? Parrot?
Yeah. He didn't put all that in there. I'm like, that's what I was expecting to hear. Was it to speak like you would think a parrot would speak? Right.
Just like a rock, Jeremy Timbers, you know?
Yeah. That like type that. Of thing.
Yeah.
And they did at least add a little bit to it, like a little bit of what would we call that, parrot accent, maybe?
Yeah.
That's but the best way to put it. Right, kind of like the Barker Bird did originally.
Right.
You know, so.
Why couldn't it be like Mr. Cotton's parrot? Same question.
Yeah. We're in a resource.
Right, exactly.
We pretty much figured that means yes.
Yeah, right. I hope so. I mean, I hope that they could bring in some characters. Like, if you could get Jack Sparrow to walk around in there every now and then and talk to folks, that would be the best. Just to
Like, if they did something like that or had some characters from the movies, at least.
Right.
Maybe. You know what? I've thought of this before. Why have they never tried to, like, it's always just Jack from those films. Why have they never tried to do a Barbossa out there or even a Will and Elizabeth, actually? I mean, why have they never tried to incorporate those characters?
Well,
we know Jack's the biggest character and the one people care about the most, but still, it'd be neat to incorporate those.
The Halloween party, and when I did the half marathon, they had Barbossa and Jack together.
Yeah.
So he's there rare on very rare occasions, but I think Barbossa would be a cool character to have roaming too. I mean, why can't you get Gibbs, especially in the tavern?
In the tavern, right? That'd you could have a lot of different ones.
That'd be really cool.
You can even have someone playing a washed up version of the Commodore.
Right? He could be spinning with the pigs. And
I was really going to say, you could have someone over there. You could have like a pigsty. That's in someone the could be. Yeah.
I feel like this was like the pitch meeting for this.
We're a little late.
Doing a pigsty.
So real quick, I'm going to throw in what you hate. That's how Express Pass has now been added to Harry Potter Battle at the Ministry and Minecart Madness at Epic Universe. I wasn't aware that I must have missed it. I wasn't aware that they added Express Pass in any way, shape, or form to Epic Universe at all. Well, but apparently they've done the one ride, you know, version, not the unlimited version.
Right.
One for ride. Epic Universe now. Interestingly enough, here's the price, because I saw it on there.
Yeah, what is the price?
Express Pass allows guests to skip the line once at participating attractions, and prices for Express Pass range from $190 to $340 per person per day at Epic Universe.
Wow.
Because Universal Unlimited, which is not available at Epic Universe, allows guests to skip the line at participating attractions as many times as they would like. which you can do in other places. So if you're buying an individual express pass on top of your admission, depending on the day, I'm assuming, it could be anywhere from $190 up to $340.
Jeez.
Just to be able to skip the line once at the participating attractions, which I think are the major ones, the ones you would need it for.
That's almost the Premier Pass price for Disney.
Yeah, right now that's kind of a cash grab in my mind for them on that one. Because I think that's the price range which I would normally do for the unlimited. But the once thing at that price, that's nowhere close to Disney for the once. So I don't know what they're thinking there. I guess they're thinking there's probably going to be enough people right now while it's still new and popular to pay it.
Yeah. I don't know. That seems a little...
Yeah.
Kind of crazy. But per person? Yeah.
Man. I honestly kind of thought the new might have died down off of this a little more than it has at this point. The thing of it is I'm not even so sure that it's the attendance. I kind of feel like they're not managing the lines that well is what's driving up the wait times. I'm not so sure it's attendance. We'll see. I mean, we'll find out Disney's numbers at least, and maybe we can find some sort of a comparison, or maybe get Universal's numbers whenever the third quarter the fourth quarter comes out later this year. So,
yeah, I'm curious. I don't know. What it's been,
yeah. Like
what Epic Universe has been doing.
Because Disney was strong in the third quarter, but that only included the first month of the summer, essentially. It only included June. So it wasn't an overall picture, and it mostly was probably helped by the previous 2 months, that being, you know, April and May, probably did more for Disney's number than did June.
Yeah. August has been pretty light. I've been looking at wait times, even in Disneyland, wait times haven't been very high. So maybe it's that time of year.
As we were talking about Big Thunder earlier, I forgot to go about the new narrative, the backstory. Oh,
yeah. I mentioned it, but I forgot to say what it was. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so it says, this is basically from the website. Legend has it that soon after gold was first discovered here in the 1850s, eerie things begin to happen. Mm. Trains would take off and race through tunnels by themselves. After you arrive at the legendary Big Thunder Mountain Mining Company, descend into an abandoned mine shaft and board your train. As you enter the cursed cavern, the engine speeds up along the rickety track, dodge exploding dynamite and falling boulders as you swoop around turns, drop into canyons, and dart through the mysterious ghost town of Tumbleweed. Your rip-roaring adventure proves that some legends are true. You're sure to have a real blast.
Mm, hopefully that's a hint at the final lift hill, but...
Yes.
Hopefully.
It'll be interesting to see if the new magic supports the storyline of the active mining site. Right. Yeah. So
I love how they put the rickety track in there, because it's like, this is probably going to be the smoothest coaster at Disney when it opens.
Well, usually the second lift hill does this back and forth, right? I think maybe that's what they're kind of doing.
Yeah. I mean, the final lift hill does that where it's supposed to be dynamite going off.
Yeah, but I mean, it also does the, like, it's not even, it makes it feel like it is.
But I'm just saying.
You should probably do that from the very beginning, though, with this story. The first lift hill should also be swaying back and forth.
Yeah, it should do it on all of them. Maybe it will, but the track itself is going to be very smooth.
Yeah.
Strange things are happening.
Yep.
To me.
Well, I think perhaps that's going to wrap up this episode of Traveling with a Mouse. As always, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, X, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. As we mentioned earlier, we have a Spreadshirt store. We also have a TeePublic store. And we have a YouTube channel. You can find that all where, Adam?
On our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. We have an email address, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. Check out our new Good Neighbor Travel Advisor, Jolly Jolly, on there. And what else? All the links to that are there. So check it out.
Yep, check out the new redesign. Right?
Well,
or a slight redesign.
Yeah.
It's like a refurbishment, a refresh, right?
Yeah, went under a slight refurb.
Kind of like Spaceship Earth. It's just a freshening up of the website. So, for Adam, excuse me. My name is John. This has been Traveling with the Miles, and we hope you will join us on our next trip. I should have said, hi, I'm AI John.
Yeah. And I'm AI Adam. Oh, wait. You have the same
person. This is AI, right? And this is AI Traveling with the Miles.